old enough that I kind of fear that the technology is going to do what it's supposed to do. But it seems to be pretty reliable. We're going to have a slightly different tack, but one that we certainly need to think about in our near future. And Dr. Margot Wootan is going to talk to us about the child nutrition reauthorization for 2009 and how we can use that as an opportunity to strengthen child nutrition programs. Dr. Wootan.
Well, every 5 years, we have the chance to make improvements to the child nutrition programs. And in 2009, the child nutrition programs are going to be reauthorized. I think this time around is going to be one of the most important child nutrition reauthorizations in some time. I think we're really going to have more opportunity than ever. One thing is that Congress seems to finally have realized that childhood obesity is a public health problem. It's something that they have a role in addressing. I think there had been some hand-wringing about obesity in the past, but now they actually think that they need to do something about it. So members are already asking us what they can do through the child nutrition reauthorization. I think another thing is that the public health community is really organized this time around. This is going to be our second reauthorization working through the National Alliance for Nutrition and Activity, and more than 300 organizations are going to be working together. We've done it once, we've gotten to know each other, we worked out the kinks in our coalition, and already we have our recommendations together for next time around and are already ready to go up on the Hill and to start shopping these around. The other thing is an unfortunate factor, which is going to make things both politically easier in some ways and politically difficult in others, and that's the rising food costs, rising fuel costs, you know, concern about the cost of providing a healthy meal, of providing healthy foods to children. And so I think in some ways that's going to open up some political opportunities, but also the economic situation is going to make it more difficult to get money for child nutrition programs, and so we're all going to have to work together. So through the National Alliance for Nutrition and Activity, we've been working together for the last, I don't know, Lorelei, 6 to 9 months or so, having different work groups, doing policy research, doing nutrition research, looking at the program, seeing what areas need strengthening. And we've come up with 5 general areas that we're going to be working on next year. One is to improve the nutritional quality of the foods that are sold outside the meal programs through vending, a la carte, school stores, and the like. Another is to strengthen school nutrition and physical activity wellness policies, to strengthen nutrition education in schools through the team nutrition networks, to continue to improve the nutritional quality of school meals, and to support and strengthen the WIC program. So I'm going to go through each one of these. The foods outside of meals are still a mess. States and localities have been making some progress, but at the national level, we have this ridiculously outdated standard for what is considered a junk food in schools. USDA's definition dates back to the 1970s. It really only excludes foods that are pure sugar, that have no nutritional value, foods of minimal nutritional value, as they're called. So lollipops, jelly beans, breath mints, the standards don't address key nutritional concerns of today. Calories, saturated fat, trans fat, sodium. So that, you know, Cheetos, Dove bars, Snickers candy bars are not considered a junk food. The other thing that's really outdated about the definition is it only applies, the nutrition standards only apply to the cafeteria during meal times. So, you know, even though you can't sell lollipops in the cafeteria, just put them in a vending machine outside the cafeteria and you can sell them, you know, anywhere else on campus throughout the school day. So we have been working on this issue together through NANA for a number of years. We've been working on a bill called the Child Nutrition Promotion and School Lunch Protection Act, which we've built a great deal of support for. We have about 190 co-sponsors. We have bipartisan support. I think we'll continue to work on this issue in the next Congress. Most likely, we'll go with a form of the bill that's more similar to what Senator Harkin proposed as an amendment to the Farm Bill, which actually outlines the nutrition standards in the bill. There are pros and cons of this approach, but a big pro is that it means we'll get the standards much sooner. We won't have to wait for a decade of rulemaking before USDA finally gets around to updating their definition. There'll be more, it'll be more of a known quantity, and we'll have strong standards quickly. So given all the momentum there is on this issue of getting soda and junk food out of schools, I think next year that we have a very excellent chance of finally getting soda and candy and snack cakes and the very worst junk foods out of school. Will the standards be perfect? Of course not. You know, this is public health, this is Washington, but they will be very, very good, and they will move the whole country enormously forward. It's not going to be easy. It's not a done deal. We're going to need all of your help with it, but I really think that the time has come, the stars are aligned, and this is going to be the year to finally do it. We won't have to keep doing this, you know, school by school by school for the next two decades. So school wellness policies, I think of next, actually, because school wellness policies were a political compromise in the last child nutrition reauthorization. We asked for national nutrition standards for the foods outside the meals. We got this. This was the consolation prize. Not a bad one. I think, you know, while wellness policies aren't perfect, they have spurred a lot of changes in nutrition and physical activity policies around the country. Though still, we know only about 20 or 30% of school districts have nutrition standards for foods outside of the meals. Some have good policies on paper, some don't. Some have only policies on paper. They're not implemented. So NANA is going to be working through the next reauthorization to find some ways to strengthen school wellness policies. We are going to be asking Congress to invest in technical assistance and resources for making wellness policies to help schools implement their wellness policies, also to make those wellness policies more accessible to communities, to parents, so that parents know, get some buy-in, get some accountability, that there should be more evaluation and assessment. There should be some kind of standing policy committee. It could be a coordinated school health committee, could be a wellness committee that will be responsible for developing, notifying the community about the policies, implementing the policies, and assessing the policies. And also, we're going to ask that two more components be added to the policies. Right now, they have to have foods outside of meals, nutrition education, and generally physical activity in schools. We're going to be asking that physical education and limits on junk food marketing in schools be added to each policy. The next area that we'll be looking at and working for to strengthen is around nutrition education and promotion. And this isn't, I want everybody to, you know, get in the habit of saying nutrition promotion, not just nutrition education. We're talking about through team nutrition, not just curricula and pamphlets and posters in the cafeteria, but policies in the school, promotional activities. Oftentimes in team nutrition, they use their money to buy a salad bar or to implement a policy. And so in the last reauthorization, we did make some progress. We were able to get written into law some authorizing language, laying out a very nice plan for nutrition education in schools in the country. But unfortunately, we have not had the same kind of luck in getting funding for the team nutrition networks. And so we are going to be asking for 1 cent per meal for each meal served through the National School Lunch Program, through CACFP, and through the Summer Food Service Program for a total of $70 million. And we're going to ask for mandatory money, you know, reliable source of money that states will get each year. That will allow team nutrition to provide adequate support and technical assistance for nutrition education and promotion. Every state will have a staff person to provide that kind of technical assistance to initiate, to maintain, to evaluate nutrition education and promotion, and better dissemination of materials so that there can be better sharing of best practices within states and between states, and from states to local school districts and back again. So school meals are also a very important area to address through the child nutrition reauthorization. I think there's been some good progress in improving the nutritional quality of meals, not only through USDA's School Meals Initiative, but also through state and local activities. So I think that school meals are better than they were, and actually the CINDA studies show improvements in school meals over time. School meals are basically nutritious. They provide required amounts of protein and key vitamins and minerals, but they're still too high in fats, especially saturated and trans fat and sodium. They do not have enough fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and so there's still a lot of work to be done on school meals. Our most important recommendation is going to be for money. That it does cost money to serve healthy meals. We need to add a whole serving of fruits and vegetables to the meals. You know, we can try to squeeze some inefficiencies out of the meal program, but that takes money, adding whole grains, making other changes to the meals. But, you know, to add that whole extra serving of fruits and vegetables, we need higher reimbursement rates. So we're still coming up with what that number will be, what'll be good for kids, what food service needs, what Congress will not laugh at us about. But we'll be coming up with a number for increasing reimbursement, and we'll be pushing very hard for that. In these tough economic times, that is going to be very difficult. And so, again, we're going to need all your help in order to increase the reimbursement rates for school meals to help meals meet the dietary guidelines. Also, in order to provide healthy meals, many schools need new equipment, whether it's an apple slicer or a salad bar or a refrigerator. That equipment money is something that USDA hasn't been providing for some time, and they need to in order for schools to provide more fruits and vegetables and other healthy foods. Another simple thing is there was some infuriating language put into the last child nutrition reauthorization that requires schools to serve meals with a variety of fat contents. There's no science behind that. The kids don't need a variety of fat contents. The dietary guidelines are very clear that the milk should be low fat, and so we want to get rid of that language, which is a barrier to schools serving only low fat milk. We'll be pushing to double the funding for the Department of Defense Fresh program, which is a way to provide good quality produce in reasonable quantities to schools to allow more schools to participate in that program. Some of the other initiatives we'll be working on through the child nutrition reauthorization that address meal quality are to encourage USDA to continue to improve the nutritional quality of commodities. If you haven't looked at commodities in a while, you should. They really have changed over time. There have been a lot of improvements, but there's still more that needs to be done. Another thing that doesn't cost much money, but I think would make a big difference to the accountability that needs to be built into new nutrition standards for school meals, is changing the way that USDA assesses whether or not schools are meeting nutrition standards, to change that SMI review process. Right now, school districts are assessed only every 5 years. Only one school per school district is assessed. To give an indication of how the whole school district is doing in providing healthy meals to kids, we're going to be asking Congress for just a little bit of money, $1 million, to allow USDA to contract with USDA, to allow USDA to contract with the Institute of Medicine to come up with some new ways of assessing the nutritional quality of school meals, and then to report those results to Congress, to USDA, to states, to parents, so that people know how is a school really doing in terms of providing a healthy meal. So I'm going to move on to WIC, which is the last set of recommendations that we'll be working on. We'll be working very closely with the National WIC Association to support the WIC program, which is such a terrific program. It was great to hear Lori say last night, you know, this is a program she's in love with. This is really a wonderful program that helps to improve children's health and growth and development and ability to learn. And it's a terrific program, but there are always needs and ways to continue to improve and strengthen the program. So we'll be working on a number of things, a number of different policy proposals to help strengthen nutrition education and breastfeeding support. Some things which seem quite simple, like if you can buy formula with WIC dollars, why can't you use those WIC dollars to help buy or rent breast pumps so that women can breastfeed, to emphasize breastfeeding support as a part of nutrition education in a number of different ways, to increase funding for breastfeeding peer counseling. Another thing we're going to have to do is play a little defense on the WIC food package. While we all understand the strong science behind the WIC food package, many commodity groups are lobbying Congress and will lobby even harder during the Child Nutrition Reauthorization to change the WIC food package because they are unhappy that not enough of their product is in there. For example, potatoes, you know, that they'll be lobbying to get potatoes added to the WIC food package. And we don't know who else is going to pop up and try to weaken the WIC food package. So we want to make sure that we have the WIC food package based on science, not on politics. There are also a number of different issues related to funding that may sound very technical, initially sounded pretty technical to me, but are very important to WIC's ability to function and to maintain their mission. For a number of years, the administration has tried to position a lot of WIC's basic functions as administrative overhead. And so they say the overhead of the WIC program is too high, when in fact what they're counting as overhead are just the basic functions of WIC: nutrition education, obesity prevention, and other central functions of the WIC program. So I am looking forward to the Child Nutrition Reauthorization next year. We're going to be working with, you know, hundreds of organizations through the National Alliance for Nutrition and Activity. We're going to be trying very hard to coordinate with the Child Nutrition Forum, with FRAC, with other groups that are focused more on the food access side, so that we all come in with a common agenda and are in the best position to get the most improvements to these programs that we can. And I come here to share information, but I probably mostly come to warn you that we'll be back to ask for your help in talking to your members of Congress and educating them about the importance of these programs and the ways that they can address child nutrition and childhood obesity through them next year. So thank you in advance.
Thank you. I know we'll be hearing more.